I know you have to exercise a little patience out there, but that's the scoop. And here we have MZ. Are you on? Are you there, MZ? Great. Hold on a second. MZ?
I'm here.
Yes, I gotcha.
Good. All right. So you're in the control room, are you, or in the talk studio?
I am in the control room at this point. I can, I will switch it over, but I had to be in here for a second. I actually did the control thing. But anyway.
So, I left my house with 20 minutes to spare when I got to the radio station and got stuck in a parking lot. They decided to do squeeze everything down to one lane type construction on Highway 1 North.
Okay.
And it was moving at about an inch every 15 minutes. I've just never seen anything like it. So I guess we'll start the show on the cell phone. Do you have the music and everything ready? There's no promo, but...
Yeah, I'm all ready, though. You ready? Here we go.
I'm not sure.
Here we go. Sorry.
Okay.
Good morning. May we bring you cheer. We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature. Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Well, greetings from Park Avenue, heading into Capitol. What a way to start the radio program. It's MZ welcoming you to hour number one of the Saturday special. You never know what's going to happen in live radio, but... We are prepared, especially when we have a pilot in command of the caliber of Nikki James. So we have a pretty interesting program for the next couple hours, we promise, so stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
So you don't know the names of the guests that we have here?
Oh, they can introduce themselves, I guess.
Yes, I will. First, I'm going to bring in, we got two... there we go. Okay, sorry about that. All right, we got two guests here in the studio, and then we got a few on the phones. But
last week we had a two-hour program with three young people.
Mm-hmm.
And it went over so well that we decided... We got hooked, and we wanted to have more young people. Maybe the Saturday special will become a young people's radio program.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
You know, fresh new, you know, instead of the old fogies, you know, all the time. But so you engineered that program last week. Did you think it was a pretty good, interesting program?
I did. I thought it was spectacular. It was really cool. Those two young men were extremely intelligent and respectful and just open-minded, and it was really cool. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And those of you who didn't happen to be listening last week, the week before, I had attended a Panetta Institute function at Cal State Monterey Bay,
mm-hmm.
and observed the young people in action. And I said, "Oh God, we got to get some of these folks on the Saturday special." So we did. And we had an interesting discussion about politics, the way young people think, and so forth. And a lot of our callers called in and engaged in spirited discussion. And I thought it was a pretty interesting program. But one of our guests did not agree. And I didn't even know that until 3 or 4 hours after the show ended. When the show ended at noontime, everybody walked out with a big smile on his face, and the one guest who was on the telephone, a young woman, I thought was very happy, but boy, was I wrong, because I got a really, really nasty email saying about 3 hours after the show ended, and when I get into the station, I'll bring up my email and read that, and it was apparently a very unpleasant experience for her. You could have knocked me over with a feather, and when I explained that to you this morning, you felt the same way, right?
Yeah, totally. That was interesting that she felt that way. I mean, I thought she did great. I thought that the conversation went well. I do think we had a caller that was a little bit disrespectful in what she brought up as far as topics and whatnot, but other than that, I thought it was...
Well, since you're talking about that, I don't remember who the caller was, but what was disrespectful?
I thought just the way that she spoke to the young men was
sort of condescending
and attacking. Yeah, absolutely. Which was not. It's not nice to treat a guest like that. I'm not an advocate of that at all. And I was really impressed with the young men, and so I felt bad that. And also your other guest on the phone, that lady, I forgot her name already, but. You know what I mean? So it's just, I just think that callers need to be respectful of the guests, even if they disagree with them or have a problem with them. You know what I mean?
Well, it makes sense, but see, it shows unaware. That's not the right word, but it shows how unaware that I was. Because maybe it was pretty insensitive on my part to not pick up what you did. Maybe I should have chastised that caller. But in any case, we got a fresh crop of young people today.
Yeah, we do.
And I think Garrett is one of them. Garrett, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Garrett, welcome to KSCO. Tell us about yourself. I think your dad called on Thursday after I did the Saturday special and suggested that you and some of your buddies might be an interesting program because you're sort of different political perspectives. Am I right?
Yes, I am a little more, let's say, conservative than a lot of my friends. Have no idea how that happened and grew up in Santa Cruz. So
how did that happen, growing up in Santa Cruz?
I suppose it'd just be the influence of, actually, my dad. You know, there, he's pretty conservative. I'm not quite of the same political persuasion as him, but...
He's more conservative or you're more conservative?
Well, that entirely depends. My views tend to be a little more libertarian than his.
Uh-huh.
So.
And
but yeah,
so most of your, is it correct to say that most of your contemporaries do not agree with you politically?
Not entirely, but there are issues that we certainly do agree on.
And so you have, but you can still discuss them, these disagreements in a civil manner.
If I didn't discuss them in a civil manner, I wouldn't have friends. Either that or I have very understanding friends, or friends that don't respect my opinions at all and just don't pay attention to them. But I like to think it's the first one. Sorry.
Oh, well, that's really neat, and I think that's the way it should be. And there's I don't know what your feelings are about the political situation in our country now. Doesn't it seem to you that most That our country is more polarized now than it's ever been? I feel that way, and I'm a lot older than you. What do you think about that? Have you given that any thought?
Well, I would say that our country's been more polarized at many other points, say the Civil War. But in my lifetime, I don't know. I really can't say.
How old are you, Garrett?
I am 20.
Right on.
Still getting used to that number.
Yeah, it's weird, huh?
Okay, now there's one other person in the studio, and I think we have a couple of guests on the telephone. Am I right?
Yes, we have Sophia in the studio as well. Sophia, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, everybody. I'm Sophia, and I'm very excited to be on the show this morning.
Well, great. So, where do you guys go to school?
Well, I currently go to UCSC.
Sophia, how long have you been there? What are you studying?
I am currently studying everything. I am undeclared right now.
So. Oh, okay. So what, you're in your second year?
Yes, I'm a sophomore.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm just pulling into the into the parking lot at KSCO, so Nikki, why don't you take over for a minute or two while I come into the station, okay?
Not a problem. So, Sophia, where do you go to school?
So I am also a sophomore. I'm at Cabrillo College. I'm actually just completing my third year here, and I started while a high school student, and I'm a history major.
Oh, history, cool. Excellent. And what are you minoring in?
Or is
there an emphasis?
Right. I'm not sure exactly where my specific field of study in history will be, okay. But I've done a lot of race and gender studies.
Oh, nice. Awesome. And how old are you?
I'm actually 16.
Really?
Yeah.
And you've been at Cabrillo for 2 years?
3 years.
Oh, 3 years. So is that a, it's like a program that you go, I forgot what they're called. Like,
yeah, that's actually the beauty of being able to grow up in Santa Cruz and be a homeschooler.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah,
nice. Okay. Excellent. Wow. What are you planning to do with your history major? Do you want to teach? What do you want to do?
Actually, that's always the first thing that pops up to people, being a teacher.
Exactly.
But I've done a lot of work with organizations, and I'd like to continue working with NGOs, possibly doing travel work and maybe going on to teach.
Oh, right on. Have you traveled anywhere outside of the country?
Yeah, actually, I was lucky enough to have a family member down in Costa Rica, so I've gone down there a couple times and traveled in Europe a little bit. And I did a lot of traveling for the Obama campaign, so I was lucky enough to be able to travel around and see some different states.
Oh, cool.
During the campaign.
Right on. Excellent. And Garrett, you are undeclared. Do you have any idea where your life might take you? I hated this question when I was in college. Sorry. And now here I am asking it.
Well, on live radio, yeah.
Yay!
I'm suddenly compelled to make a decision here.
I
really don't know.
What are your passions? What are your hobbies? What do you like?
I have interest in mathematics and both the physical sciences and more conceptual.
Oh, cool.
I'm also I'm interested in art, film. So I'm kind of all over the place, really.
Excellent. Excellent. Right on. Well, let's bring in our other guest. I don't know where MZ is. He must... Oh, you know what? I locked the door. He might not be able to get in. I'm sure he has a key, though, because he owns the place. We have Elowen. Elowen, you are on the air. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. A bit tired, but...
Yeah. So, Elowen, what's your story? Where are you from, and what are you doing?
I hear some pretty loud knocking.
Here, I'm from Santa Cruz. I've been here all my life.
Okay, cool. How old are you?
I'm 18.
18? All right. And are you just finishing high school, or?
This is my last year, although, like Sophia, my case is a somewhat complicated one. I've been at Cabrillo for the last 4 years doing high school work.
Excellent. And what are you studying?
That's also kind of up in the air. I want to probably go on to do environmental law at some point in the future, because I think a lot needs to be done with policy and implementation there.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Cool. And the other person we have on the air here is Ian. Ian, you're on the air, KSEO. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Excellent. And what's your story? Where are you from?
I'm also born and raised in Santa Cruz.
Excellent.
And like all of us, I think I went to Cabrillo for a few years, and now I'm at UC Berkeley.
Cool. What are you studying?
I'm studying political economy.
Wow. Well, we got a big group of people here, MZ. MZ is currently in the studio right now in his yellow shorts.
You said that that you locked the door. That's a good thing for security.
Yes, I don't like...
But it's a comedy of errors today.
You forgot your key.
No, I didn't forget it. I gave it to the engineer last week because someone had locked him out. You know, the engineers who were fixing the KOMY transmitter...
Right, okay.
Were locked out. When they went to get a hamburger. And so I said, look, here, so this won't ever happen again.
Yeah.
You can use my key.
Oh, boy.
The first time in like
I don't think you've ever been locked out of your own building,
No, never.
Never.
And it was so funny. I was pounding. And then I hear you and this, I locked the door. And I'm sure he has a key.
Not today.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to let you take over here. I'm going to come flip the
switches.
All right,
so who's Elowen and who's EIN? It says Elowen on line one.
Yeah, hi.
Oh, hi, Elowen. I'm sorry if you've already been introduced. I'm just sort of getting here, so I'm just sort of walking into everything. So look, you guys are a bunch of young people, and it was suggested by Garrett's father, whose name is...
Richard.
Okay. Dick.
Or Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Dick called because he heard the Noon Balloon earlier this week, and thought that it'd be a great idea to invite more young people and become part of the interactive talk radio station. Not too many people, young people, listen to talk radio. It's generally an older person's demographic. But why not? Especially if younger people are more involved in the world now than they have in politics and what's going on than ever before. So let's see, we have a total of four guests today, two in the studio and two on the phone?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, sir, Nikki. I mean, yes, I'm Nikki.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. Okay, good.
You got control now.
Now we've got total control here. Okay, it is the Saturday special, and what do you guys think of what's going on in the country? Are you guys happy pretty much that we have a new president?
Very happy.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, if we didn't, I'd think that'd be kind of a problem with the system. You know, every 4 years.
Oh, no, come on. I know what I did. Wasn't suggesting that the system be. Are you happy that Obama's our president, or would you have rather, being a conservative, would you have rather John McCain be our president right now, Garrett?
Honestly, I can't say whether I would. That's tricky because I'm not.
You're not old enough. You are old enough to vote. Of course you are.
It's not that I'm not old enough to vote. No,
you're 18 years old, so.
This is the
age for voting. So who did you vote for? Is that too personal a question?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I really did not know who I was going to vote for. I'm really not all that enthusiastic about Obama, but on the other hand, I really didn't think that McCain was really a good idea.
Sophia.
Yes.
Sophie's going to be more clear
okay,
about this.
Yeah. You just said unquestionably you're happy that Obama has been elected.
Very much.
Okay.
So.
And the reason is?
Well, first off, I just want to say I think that the fact that Garrett and I are sitting here and very much friends and have different political views sort of exemplifies where we're at in our country right now. It was asked previously whether or not our country is more polarized than before. And I think that demographically, it's less so with young people. I think that we're very much able to cross political boundaries and come together on certain issues. So as for Obama, I'm very much happy that he's in the White House. I think that he has a really great team of people up there, and I think
I'm real happy that you disagree with me about the polarization being at the height in this country. I think that's great because you're saying that that's not the case with young people, at least between you guys.
Not what I've seen, especially on my campus.
That's terrific. That's really good. Years ago, we did have a young person's talk show on the station, probably 15, 16 years ago. We had a conservative young lady from UC Santa Cruz and a liberal young man from UC Santa Cruz, and they were sort of going at it. It was a very interesting radio program, but the young lady would tell us, would describe various circumstances where she was ridiculed by her students in the classrooms as well as the professors. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I'm delighted to hear that at least as far as the students are concerned, at least in the circles you travel, that you guys can be friends and have nice discussions. What about the folks on the telephone here, Elowen?
I feel like the way that especially the youth of today have come together for the most part around Obama is probably a special case, although I very much like to believe that it's an inherent quality of being young to have a fairly open mind about these things. I think Obama really has given people an opportunity to really put your energy into something. A lot of the people on the phones right now, or especially in the radio station, I'm thinking of Sophia right now, have put hours and hours, weeks, really, in months, into getting Obama elected, and it's a real accomplishment for all of us, and it's something that regardless of party lines people can get excited about because it is change. And I know that's been said many times on many different levels, but it is something that people can feel like they have a real influence on, and I think that definitely resonates with today's youth, is having an influence.
Great. Ian?
Sure. Well, I guess I would just chime in and say that at least with young people in California, we're pretty much in agreement around Obama. And, of course, I come from this from a little bit of a skewed perspective because I was a state field coordinator for California students of Barack Obama during the fall. But if you look at the election results, 18 to 24-year-olds in California won, Obama won that demographic by 80% to McCain's 18. I mean, it's really, everybody knows that, you know, Obama was popular among young people and this and that, but mm-hmm. the fact that he won it with 80% is pretty mind-blowing because it means a lot of even conservatives and Republicans voted.
Without the young people vote, he probably would have been elected anyhow, don't you think?
Yeah.
Or maybe not. What do you think?
No, if you look at the numbers, he would have been elected anyway. But it definitely contributed. It would have been a lot closer, and it contributed. And the youth vote did increase by about 2% since the last election, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's quite significant.
I also want to say here that even just looking at how many people might have been swayed by the young people who were voting and who were getting active in the election, that could have been the margin of victory for Barack Obama.
That's true.
I know that when I came back from North Dakota last summer, I walked out of the airport and my mom said, "Hey, I have a surprise for you." And she had stuck her Barack Obama sticker on the back of her car, and she had previously been a Hillary Clinton fan. And just all of the doors that were knocked on by
young people.
I thought
you were going to say that she had previously been a McCain fan. And
no, but there are those stories too. Not in my family, but yeah, there are. I do know young people across the state who have convinced their parents to swing over from voting for McCain.
Right. Well, Obama had promised hope and change, and I guess there's change, and there might be some hope here, I guess. Some people are dismayed that that he has delayed the return home of the troops and the winding down of the war in Iraq. What do you guys feel about that?
Well, I tried to field this before everybody else. Look at me now. Just stuck here. All right. Well, does anybody else want to take this, really? Really? No? I'm sorry.
I guess I could chime in.
Ian, go.
I mean, I feel like, you know, Obama from the beginning promised to withdraw and end the war, and then that was his campaign pledge, and I think he's following up on it. But, you know, he always talked about having a responsible withdrawal, and, you know, I think that he and everybody else in the White House and the Pentagon are assessing the situation and doing so, you know, pulling out responsibly. I think that at this point, I think that there are very few people who would want to rush the process and, you know, endanger troops or Iraqis, but, you know, just in order to speed it up by a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that everybody would want a responsible withdrawal. Nobody wants an irresponsible withdrawal. That doesn't sound good.
By irresponsible, you're talking about cutting and running, just ending it, you know, abruptly.
Yes,
like Ron Paul, I believe,
yes,
advocated,
like
right?
Ron Paul.
He just says, well, what's the big deal? We'll just stop and bring him home tomorrow. That's what he said that he would do if he was president. And I actually like Ron Paul. I don't know if I like that part of Ron Paul. It didn't seem very realistic to me. But I couldn't bring myself to vote for Barack Obama, much as I wanted to, and the reason I didn't vote for him, the main reason I didn't vote for him, is because he's palling around with our enemies. And I think that's dangerous. Now, maybe you guys totally disagree with that. I think, you know, I don't think you can make people who despise you, who hate you, suddenly like you by sucking up to them. And I think that's what the president is doing now. What do you guys think?
I think that in a global economy and in today's world, we need to redefine the definition of enemy. I don't think that it's appropriate for us to really say that people who we previously would have just cut off, we can afford to do that anymore.
Wait a minute. Redefine the definition of enemy? We can certainly change who our friends and enemies are, but the definition of enemy...
That's a good question. What is the definition of enemy? What I think the definition of enemy is, and I've got a pretty... I'm only thinking about it for the first time now because you raised the question, Garrett. an enemy. I don't know. Someone who hates us and wants to see us dead. That's a real enemy. There are probably lesser degrees of enemyship than that. But there sure are a lot of those people in the world, and I don't like my president sucking up to them. I really don't. I think it's dangerous. I think it sends a message of weakness to our enemies.
I feel like there's a problem with defining an enmity on a countrywide basis. And I agree with Sophia. They're really, in today's day and age, you really have to be careful about whom you call your enemy. But you can't do it across country lines now. There's the internet, and people in most countries are allowed to decide for themselves. And the overwhelming fact is that when you define an entire country as your enemy, you're assuming that everyone there feels the same way. And
that's
you're
a very
a
good
mask
point
on all of them and saying they're the ones we're
point.
Willing to bomb because they don't like us. But we've never talked to the people we're killing. We've talked to their political leaders.
Well, isn't it, I guess who do you talk to? How do you have access to anyone but the political leaders? I mean, that's who our president would naturally talk to. Now, if there are people, you know, in Venezuela who feel differently about the U.S. than Hugo Chavez, then I got a good point there. But these are the people that they've elected, and so these are the people that we talk to, right? I mean, that our statesmen
talk to. Where does the Venezuelan people get their information about the United States? It's mainly
from their government.
Leaders like Hugo Chavez.
Right.
Who, like Hugo Chavez and Ahmadinejad, have really used the United States consistently as a useful adversary in their situation to really gain support. The United States is keeping us down. The United States is this horrible thing that's doing all this stuff to us. That way of looking at it really shifts the blame from any problems inside the country to saying that it is, in fact, an external problem perpetrated by the U.S.
I feel like there's a really important aspect of diplomacy here. There's a not very strictly defined now definition between talking to the enemy and trying diplomacy, and I think one of the problems here is that there's been so little diplomacy in the last 8 years. Diplomacy is talking to people who are trained to talk to you and trained to be a conduit for information to their people, not necessarily the heads of state, but usually pretty tied, yes.
Or celebrities, apparently they're...
Right, but when you're able to talk to people that don't actually have a personal say in... or that say aren't dictators... You're able to get more information to and from the people in the country, and that's why diplomats and diplomacy are really, really important. And I think Obama's steps that he's been taking toward opening up information channels have been really important and really positive. Come on.
Can I chime in here?
Please.
So, I mean, I hear what people are saying, and I see the concern about talking to enemies, but... You know, I think it's important to keep in mind that this has been done before. I mean, Ronald Reagan, you know, talked with the Soviet Union all the time, even when we were, you know, threatening nuclear war on each other. And so I feel like, you know...
You're cluing me into something I didn't know. I thought he referred to them as the evil empire.
Sure, of course he considered them enemies as...
But he still spoke with them, huh? Okay, well, you're educating me.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He sat down at the table, and they met on a number of occasions. I mean, they had an open dialogue, and that's basically what Obama's proposing. So I don't think it's all that radical.
Yes, just like when Nixon opened up...
relations with China.
Relations, yes. Communication, that's what I was trying to say, the word communication. Communications with China.
And just saying, you know, just because you talk to Hugo Chavez doesn't mean that you have to agree with him. I think that's the important distinction. You can talk to somebody without agreeing with their stance.
And you can also talk to people without sacrificing your own point of view.
I don't think it's necessarily talking to the enemy that makes it appear that the United States is weak to them. I think it's
pandering to them, and I get the feel, at least the way I interpret the news, that there's pandering that's been done. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think it's the fact that we are really changing our position, that well, that we really appear to be changing our position on the countries that we're talking about. Bush was saying Iran about open negotiations that they weren't going to have this situation where there would be no nouns. Damn it. there would be no preconditions of the negotiations, and then Obama comes out and unequivocally states that, yes, I will sit down with Iran without negotiations. And that natural back and forth of ideas within our country to a dictator would seem unharmonious and completely lacking in any sort of strength. It seems like the country
is
divided.
I disagree. I mean, I think that there's a lot of strength to be gained by talking to these people. I mean, you look at North Korea and their you know, track towards getting nuclear weapons. I mean, time and time again, we have negotiated with them at some point, but we've also not negotiated with them, and I think it's helped prolong the problem. And I feel like when we have real enemies, a lot of times we have to talk to them, because by not talking to them, we are weakening ourselves.
Well, I don't know if we're weakening ourselves, but we're certainly not getting anything positive done, that's for sure.
Exactly.
So, you know, look where that's gotten us. It's the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. MZ here with four very fine young people, Garrett and Sophia in the studio here at KSCO, and Ian and Elowin on the phone lines. You are invited to participate, to join the conversation. Give us a call at 479-1080 if you would like to do that. We're coming up on it's high time for a commercial break, so let's go ahead and do that. And when we come back, we've got at least one caller, Mike in Watsonville, and here's another caller coming in. Something tells me we're going to jam the phone lines today, and that's exactly what we want. 479-1080, or if you want to shoot me an email, it's mz@ksco.com. We will be back in just a few moments.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. I was thinking the other day about all the things a good roof can do for you. I came up with quite a few very important benefits. Think about it. Your roof keeps you dry in the winter, keeps you safe from critters and insects. Your roof protects you from fire, wind, and earthquakes. Your roof can add curb appeal and resale value to your home. A roof can be used to mount solar panels for both electricity and hot water. Here at Knox Roofing, we can show you how to collect enough rainwater to supply your entire home's water needs just off your roof. Pretty neat. So when your roof can do so much for you, why place the workmanship with just any roofing company? Here at Knox Roofing, we can show you how all the things we mentioned can be accomplished with just a phone call away. For free information and estimates, it's Knox Roofing in both Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. That number to call, 461-0634. 461-0634. Thanks, folks.
Hi, it's MZ, owner of KOMY AM 1340, with a hearty welcome to all of you new listeners to our Memories and Magic station. When we first learned that our friendly competitor station in Monterey had dropped its fabulous, long-established, and much-loved adult standards music format, well, we just could not keep ourselves from jumping on that format to keep the Memories and Magic flowing. Now, we've received an amazing number of thank yous for making this positive change, and the appreciative comments keep pouring in. I do have a request for you. The larger our audience, the easier it will be to continue to bring you this wonderful format and to tweak it to perfection. So please call, email, or otherwise contact everyone you know to tell them about Memories and Magic AM 1340 KOMY. Also, if you'd like to contact me with comments or suggestions, by all means, send an email to mz@ksco.com. That's mz@ksco.com. Enjoy the Memories and Magic.
May is for lovers, and what better way to fall in love for the first time or the millionth time than by enjoying the pleasures of Pleasure Point. Hello, I'm Tara Forrest, manager of Pleasure Point Inn B&B on the Cliffs at Pleasure Point here in Santa Cruz. Our four ultra-plush guest rooms offer California beach living at its best, with incomparable views of the Monterey Bay, jacuzzi under the stars, plush bedding, and an expanded continental breakfast. May is for lovers. Get in the mood and enjoy some of the best weather of the year with a night or two of pleasure at Pleasure Point Inn. Book your pleasure right now and get 25% off a stay in May, Sunday through Thursday. That's right, 25% off a stay in May. And remember, May is for lovers at Pleasure Point Inn. Call 475-4657 or visit us at pleasurepointinn.com.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Yeah, I'm having the same problem with one of my classes this semester. It just
what is that?
Circular.
Oh, is it someone on the telephone? Oh, I see. That's Elowin talking. Okay, yeah, I gotcha. All right, well, here, welcome back to hour number one. We got 16 minutes remaining in hour number one. We have young people Garrett, Sophia, Ian, and Elowin on the radio with us today. Elowin and Ian are on the telephone. Garrett and Sophia are in the studio with me. We had two callers, but they didn't like it when we took the commercial break. They both dropped off. So, okay, well, that's fine. 479-1080, we've got open lines here, and we'd invite calls. In the meantime, I want to – I promised earlier that I would read the letter that was sent to me. I actually had to talk the lady Eileen into coming in onto the program because she when I invited her, she sounded pretty excited. And then I got an email saying, I was not aware that your station, I assumed that yours was a progressive radio station. And I guess she looked at the website and saw that we have Rush Limbaugh and we have some other conservative things. So she didn't want to come on because she said, I'm a liberal person and I don't think your audience would appreciate me. And so I sent her an email back, and it says, I want you and other young people exactly how you are. Screw my listeners if they're not happy about what they hear from you or not happy with me for putting you and other liberally skewed young people on the air. Believe it or not, pleasing right-wing conservative listeners is not what KSCO is about. It's about being a true voice for everyone. Yes, we carry Rush Limbaugh. We also promote countless liberal progressive nonprofits during our morning show, have liberal progressives like David Corsi Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m., and Alan Combs Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. on the air live. Did you decline going to the Panetta Institute debate because Karl Rove, hardly a progressive, was going to be there? Or was it okay because you believed that the majority of the audience would be Bush Rove haters? Come on, Eileen, the Panettas are great for promoting quality debate. That's what we've been doing every day for 18 years, for the 18 years plus that I've owned KSCO. So please reconsider and be part of our show today. We can call you or you can call us. So anyhow, she decided, aha, I will call in at 10 o'clock, which she did. And I thought we had what I thought was a great program. But 3.5 hours after it ended, 3.5 hours after it ended, I received this letter. Hi, Michael. So the more the day goes by, the worse the taste in my mouth gets after being on your show. I knew I should have stayed away. Yes, open discourse and healthy discussion are great, but there was none of that. This was your angry listeners preying on young liberals who had no idea what was coming. I thought we were going to be discussing the Panetta lecture and bipartisanship and the role of young people in politics. Instead, you opened it up to your callers who attacked, insulted, and were rude to all three of us, basically questioning our beliefs. It was their chance to attack liberals and make us look and feel bad because they know we don't have an arsenal of facts. They wanted to prove that young liberal kids are stupid. We're not policy wonks and don't have the statistics memorized, nor do we have line 15 of the Constitution embedded in our minds. Did you know this was going to happen? Do you feel guilty at all for probably ruining the boys' and my day?
I think you may have really turned off the other young boys, and that's quite a pity. And to pressure them to find out whether or not they came over illegally, I didn't do that. A caller called in and asked that question. You should not have allowed that to have entered into the conversation. The boys were naive enough to answer. That was uncalled for. A lot of questions were uncalled for and were basically quiz questions or on totally irrelevant things like world population. This is what they're teaching the kids. She's trying to prove their ignorance and then embarrass them. How constructive is that? Oh, and I assumed that it was going to be hateful and antagonistic environment on the radio, and it was. You assumed I was under 21 just because I'm in college. You know people of all ages go to college. It ain't retardation. Such a poor choice of words for a radio personality. Now, I use that word sort of as a joke, and I said that it was a poor choice of words myself. And it was just, it was a joke. It was a little humor. Maybe it was a humor and poor taste. That is a word that is a politically incorrect word these days. That's true. So I will apologize for using that word, even in jest, that it was. This is the funny part. It says, God, listening to Karl Rove was more pleasant than this, for crying out loud. I'm pretty upset. This was one of the more awful and saddening experiences of my life. And that hate cartoon about the president that someone sent me in an email that you offered to forward to people who sent you an email. I'm shaking my head here, MZ. I could go on and on about everything that was horrendous about this morning. I truly regret going on your show. In the end, I went out of kindness because I was worried I was going to ruin it for your schedule. And then I was curious after you comforted me that it was all going to be okay. Well, it wasn't. Not one bit. You lied. Straight up. What did I lie about? I highly encourage you to send an apology letter to the boys, their parents, and myself. I think deep inside you know that this went awry. Or perhaps you even planned it this way. I should hope not. Michael, this was not constructive for anybody. This had nothing to do with healthy debate or bipartisanship. After this experience, I am more partisan than ever. Epic fail, Michael. Next time, reconsider the format of your show, be more considerate to others, and keep it to Rush Limbaugh and the liberal, in quotes, Alan Combs, and keep playing your fair and balanced Fox News. Blech, vomit. This person doesn't like Fox News. At least you taught me one thing. Trust my instincts. Signed, Eileen. P.S. The K commentary was the most bleeping, you know what the word is. It's actually written here, and I just say it because we're not allowed to say it on the radio. The K commentary was the most, I'm almost going to say it, was the most bleeping, disgusting, venomous hate speech I have ever heard. She should be arrested. I will never listen to your radio station ever again. So, here, I thought we had done a great show that everybody was happy, and one of the three guests was quite the contrary, was just a very, very upset. And the more she thought about it, the more upset she got. So, what would you do? What would you do anything, or would you just ignore it, or would you just feel bad, or would you just say, well, what would you do?
Well, we don't honestly know what actually
well, you heard part happened. Of it here, Sophia. You heard the program or part of it, right?
I listened to part of the program last night. I was putting my younger brother to bed, so I didn't get to listen to the whole 2 hours. But I did think that some of the guests were very rude and inconsiderate towards your guests here, some of the callers, sorry. And
that I should have been more protective of the guests, you think? Because, I mean, once someone says something, I mean, you can't... I guess I should have said, shame on you, you shouldn't ask that, and don't answer. I didn't say that. I just let people do their thing like we always do here at KSCO.
Well, I think that it would have been appropriate on air for your guests, at least, to say whether they thought the questions were inappropriate. I actually thought it was a little bit humorous when one of the caller-ins asked a question about the Panetta Institute and sort of demanding that or implying that your guests here didn't know the nuances of the Institute, and then she didn't know it herself. But...
That was pretty funny.
That was a little bit humorous.
Right.
But I do appreciate the chance, at least for myself, to be on air this morning. And I would welcome any views counter to mine, because I think that this is a place for open dialogue.
Yeah. Okay, great. So did any of the other guests here or on the telephone, did any of you happen to hear the program or hear the recording of it, Ian or Elwin?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually did get a chance to listen.
What did you think? Did you think it was?
Do
you
think? I thought it was interesting.
You think Eileen was you know, had a right to be upset with us?
Well, I could definitely see why she was. Some of the callers really did, I think, go overboard. But, I mean, I thought you did a decent job I think that's one of the things you got to expect with this sort of thing is that callers call in with all different perspectives. And, I guess I feel like you just have to be ready for it. And, at least for me today, I would hope that people would be able to, throw anything out there. I think we can handle it.
Okay, well, let's start then. Let's go to our first caller, Brookdale Mike. Welcome to the Saturday special, Brookdale Mike. We've got three people on the phone, so it might be a little echoey. Let's try.
Okay. I'll try to go as quick as I can here, Mike.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I think you are an excellent host. I think you're the best in the business.
Need to leave you on all day. Yeah, thanks.
They don't understand your humor, you've got that dry humor, like when you said retarded, I knew you didn't mean that in the sense that you took it. These kids, I think you gave them a good wake-up call as far as, this is what the real world's about. This, you're going to run into opposition in life, and you're going to have to deal with it. Uh-huh. This is life, this is outside the classroom, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I thought the two young Mexican kids were just beautiful. I tell you what, if those are illegal immigrants, I want more illegal immigrants.
Well, only one of them came illegal. One was born here.
Christopher
Daniel. They're both really bright guys.
A concerned citizen. And the other thing I got is just real quickly, when you say Barack Obama is palling around with our enemies, what do you want him to do? Bomb, 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 bomb Iran, bomb, bomb. Like, if McCain would have been elected, we would have been in war with Iran. We would have been in war with the Palestinians. We'd have been in war with probably Argentina. Who knows? I mean, my God. I mean, he would have been a disaster. And I think these kids are the future. I think they recognize that, and I think that we're going in the right direction right now.
Thanks, Brookdale Mike.
Okay,
Mike. Do appreciate your call to the Saturday special. And I don't know why everything is so muddy now, but let's take a call from Zoya. Zoya, welcome to the Saturday special.
Yes, good morning. I want to ask young people, especially who have this knowledge of history, what they know about history before Second World and what they learned from school and from college, what diplomacy was before this. Please ask them.
I think you want
to
answer first, Garrett.
Who wants to answer this question?
Are we talking about directly before the Second World War?
Yes, between First and Second.
Between First and Second. Well, I know that in the United States, the policy was highly isolationist as far as
what
was going on.
What rest of the world was doing, France, England, everyone, what they was doing before to avoid war?
Well, they were dealing with what was going on in Germany and quite poorly, actually, because they did not want to get involved in a Second World War. The Great War had already happened. America was hardly affected. The infrastructure and everything, we were all still intact. But in Europe, there's the lost generation of the First World War, and they really did not want to go into a Second World War.
And what they done, and what they achieved from with this policy?
You're talking about
between Second War. What they was doing to get good results and what they got.
I think that what stands out during that period in terms of international policy and relations is the Treaty of Versailles and Wilson's 14 points. And I think that the main drawback with that is that there wasn't a lot of enforcement. There was a lot of teeth
to
that.
Yes, this is it. But I'm asking about policy, that if you want to talk to everyone who want just for talking.
Who was
talking to Hitler and who has a better army? Even Czech have better army than Hitler, but everyone was sold everything's just to be nice and do gooders.
Well, I think what Garrett said is pertinent here, that none of the countries really wanted war. After the First World War, to my understanding...
Okay, what would they achieve without this?
You see,
Don't tell me what they want and what they achieve with this policy.
Well, there was a slide into a system of more checks and balances, really, after the First World War, where the United States was expanding very rapidly, but a lot of Europe was moving more slowly because
I think
no one was getting that
position. I'm asking mostly about Europe policy before.
I think that what was really important about the interwar period was that you have the roots of the UN and
it was not UN before. It was the League of Nations.
That's true, but
the League of Nations collapsed,
but it set the groundwork for the UN.
Yes.
The UN was created after.
It's true. But I don't think that the UN would have been able to be created without...
But I'm not talking about UN. I am talking what country in Europe done to stop the war.
You're talking about...
I'm talking about real diplomacy that you advocate.
Yeah, you're talking about... what's his name? Nouns again, right? The Prime Minister of England going and
not only Prime Minister of England, what France was doing, what people around, what everyone want, and talk to Hitler and make and be nice.
So my understanding of your question is what the different countries in Europe were doing to actively seek diplomacy and to avoid war.
Yes. Oh, it's all of them was talking.
It's a simple rhetorical question. The point is that they tried to avoid war so badly that it escalated and concessions were made and countries were sacrificed to Germany in order to avoid a war, and it turned into the Second World War.
And how many people was lost during this war? After all this do-gooder decide to talk.
I don't know the numbers, but I feel like it's not... It's a slightly false analogy. I don't feel like Obama's policy is compromising countries or giving concessions that shouldn't be given.
They should give concession?
I don't feel like he has been giving concessions.
Oh, what is about Poland? What is about Czechoslovakia? Who decide to
give
them
up? I hate to say it, gang, but we're into the news already. I need to cut this off. So thank you, Zoya, for calling. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We join Fox News in progress.
Choose a pro-choice speaker. Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper is there.
This is an off-campus protest which ends on campus, and right now these protesters are meeting with police and police telling them that if they don't turn around now, they will be arrested, and we expect more people to be arrested today. There were close to 20 arrests yesterday.
Cops are using a bus to transport those who are arrested. President Obama's pick to be our ambassador to China is a Republican who co-chaired John McCain's national campaign for president. He's Utah Governor John Hutsman.
You have my commitment that we will take the U.S.-China relationship to new heights, focused not just on that which divides us, but more importantly, on that which unites us.
Huntsman speaks fluent Mandarin Chinese, the ambassador to Singapore he was under the first President Bush. It's the second jewel in the Triple Crown. Let's go live to the Preakness and Fox News Radio's Kirsten McNary.
Karen, Philly Rachel, Alexandra is still the favorite with bettors, and jockey Calvin Burrell making history switching off Kentucky Derby winner My Matt Bird. Racegoers like Michael are pushing big drama up the ranks.
Prosecutors say an 11-year-old Wisconsin girl suffered terribly before dying before her mother because her mother tried to pray her well instead of taking her to a doctor. 41-year-old Leilani Newman is accused of second-degree reckless homicide. She has said daughter Madeline's disability was a test of faith. She had diabetes. Newman is facing 25 years in prison if she is convicted. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
When Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974, Vice President Gerald Ford took the oath of office administered by Chief Justice Warren Burger in the East Room of the White House.
Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule, but there is a higher power. By whatever name, we honor him. Who ordains not only righteousness but love, not only justice but mercy. As we bind up the internal wounds of Watergate, more painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
It is a risky mission.
John, once you are
it is not easy to fix a telescope, especially when that telescope is the Hubble Space Telescope. Spacewalking astronauts are trying to repair a busted camera on the Hubble, 350 miles above the Earth. Gay rights activists were rounded up in the streets of Moscow.
30 gay activists are in jail after protesting what they say is a lack of gay rights in the former Soviet Union. They were arrested in Moscow after demonstrating for about a minute, thrown into buses and taken off to jail. This is the fourth year in a row Moscow's mayor has banned the parade, saying homosexuals are satanic and immoral. Activists say they'll hold another march and continue to fight for their rights. Gay opponents also staged an anti-gay march. In Moscow, Jessica Gallagher, Fox News.
In Pakistan, a bombing at an internet cafe has left at least 11 people dead. That car bombing destroyed the cafe itself and ripped apart a bus full of disabled children. Three Florida Department of Corrections employees fired after what was probably not the smartest idea.
It happened in April on National Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. The kids, some as young as five, were told to stand in a circle. Then one of them was shocked, passing the shock around the circle. At another prison, children were shocked individually. All of the children have parents who work for the Department of Corrections, and some even gave permission for their child to be shocked. But Florida's Corrections Department Commissioner says that does not excuse officers for using stun guns. Lisa Lacerra, Fox News Radio.
She's an orangutan named Saria. He's a dog named Roscoe. Both live in an animal sanctuary in South Carolina, and they're friends. They first met 2 years ago when Roscoe, stray, was taken in by the Institute of Greatly Endangered and Rare Species. Saria, a friendly sort of ape, introduced herself. The orangutan even shares her monkey biscuits. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I got your Central Coast forecast for the weekend. We're going to have a beautiful sunny weekend. We got warm temperatures today. We're going to get in a high of 81 and the north-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 55 with light winds. On Sunday, mostly sunny and warm with a high of 82. North-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Got your Monterey Bay boaters forecast. We are going to have east winds, 5 to 10 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 feet or less, northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds with patchy fog. Tonight, the northwest winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming east after midnight. The wind waves 2 feet or less, northwest swell 3 to 5 feet at 8 seconds. On Sunday, east winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 feet or less and a northwest swell of 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. Current temperatures 74 degrees in Salinas, 74 in Watsonville, and 64 in Monterey. We are at 62 here in Santa Cruz outside KSCO Studios. The official time, 11:06 and 28 seconds on this Saturday, May 16th, 2009. And just a little update for that traffic situation on Highway 1. I did get a call from one of our listeners, and I really appreciate that. North Highway 1 is blocked from Watsonville to Rio Del Mar Boulevard, and after that, it's all clear. So just to let you know, that's the situation. They're doing some kind of work on the side of the road, and it's causing lots of traffic backups. So good luck out there. Enjoy the sunshine. And up next, we have the second hour of the Saturday special with MZ and his crew here. We got quite a group of young individuals, and we're having a blast. So you're tuned in to KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James, and here's Michael Zwirling.
Yeah, we're having a blast.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's start it officially here, if I can find the right mouse. Yeah, we have to hear this nice sound here, because it's not hour number two without hearing this first.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
So why don't more young people listen to and call the talk radio stations? Why? Well, I don't know. We're trying to fix that. We're doing the best we can. Yeah, for the next hour.
Sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
I have a special announcement here at the beginning of hour number two. You know, you've been hearing a lot of ads on KSCO for the highly nutritious tang-tasting energy drink called Pollen Burst. And for the delicious herb-infused, diabetic-friendly, high-auric value, super high antioxidant, good for your, for everything, dark chocolate called True Chocolate, okay? I have just made a deal with none other than our good friend, Stuart Howell, over at Deer Park Wine and Spirits, for you to go in to Deer Park Wine and Spirits and get it right there without having to send away for it or make arrangements with us or whatever, you know, or become a distributor and buy a whole bunch of it or anything like that. You can go and get it in smaller quantities at Deer Park Wine and Spirits. So I just wanted to put that out. Very, very exciting. I know I sound excited, but I'm really much more excited than I sound. All right, so it's Deer Park Wine and Spirits. You can get your own Pollen Burst there and your own dark chocolate called True Chocolate. It's the most delicious, wonderful weight loss inducing chocolate that I've ever tasted. So give it a whirl. All right, welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special. Before we get back to our young people and the phone callers at 479-1080, Garrett, Sophia, Ian, and Elowen, we do have a K's commentary, so Nikki, why don't you make
the
it happen?
World premiere.
I can't hear. Oh, I guess I can't hear you unless I go back on the air. What'd you say?
It's the world premiere.
We're not supposed to say that.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, my mother was saying, don't say world premiere, and whatever you do, do not play it when people go to take a leak.
Alrighty, well then I think it's perfect time because they're done. They're done taking a leak.
The audience will disregard that last comment about it being a world premiere because Kay does not want us to say that.
I feel bad.
She just wants it to just make a big, just announce it.
Sorry about that.
All right, good.
Here we go.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
Recently, our president showed a touch of real class. He changed his mind about exposing our troops to difficulties if he had allowed certain pictures to be publicized despite pressure from the despicable ACLU to do so. Kudos to Obama. If he can continue to see the reasonable way, we might make him conservative, hence more logical. And the next 4 years, might not be so bad after all. Also, our president just made it known that he wants to deal with the national health care issue at once and hopes to have it in place shortly. Since many of our listeners enjoy senior citizen status or will sometime soon, you might be interested in the following health insurance information. Most of you know that the Senate version of the recent stimulus bill includes provisions for extensive rationing for senior citizens. The author of this part of the bill, former senator and tax evader Tom Daschle, was credited recently with the following statement. Daschle said that health care reform will not be pain-free. Seniors should be accepting of the conditions that come with age instead of treating them. Put another way, don't expect the government to let you have certain expensive procedures or drugs since you're too old and you won't be around much longer anyway. I heard somewhere some unknown heartless lawmaker state that for those over 75, it is our duty to quietly leave willingly since the world is getting too crowded. About Daschle and his cavalier attitude, remember that he and his Congress people did not like our Medicare benefits. So, some time ago, they quietly chose something much fancier and superior, which covers them and their spouses for life. And I suspect that we the people pay their premiums, and they do not fall under the same rule of being denied treatment like the rest of us oldies. And when they are no longer in Congress, they and their spouses each receive hefty lifetime pensions. Hopefully, those of us who can afford private insurance will be able to do so. However, it bugs me how our leaders take outrageous perks for themselves that we the people pay for and will never know exist or be able to change. So, let's change the subject and let's wind up with a little joke that's floating around. A U.S. congressman was seated next to a little girl on the airplane. The congressman said, "Let's talk. I heard that flights go quicker if we strike up a conversation with a fellow passenger." The little girl, who had just opened her book, closed it slowly and said to the congressman, "What would you like to talk about?" "Oh, I don't know," he said. "How about the banking crisis?" And he smiled. "Okay," she said. "That could be an interesting and timely topic. But let me ask you a question first. A horse, a cow, and a deer all eat the same stuff, grass. Yet a deer excretes little pellets, while a cow turns out a flat patty, and a horse produces clumps of dried grass. What do you suppose that is?" The congressman, visibly surprised by the little girl's intelligence, thinks about it and says, "I have no idea." To which the little girl replies, "Do you really feel qualified to discuss banking when you don't know sh-?" For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
I'd just like to say that the differences between those actually comes from the digestive systems and the never mind. You know what? I know a little bit about that word that was
the word.
That was a terrible thing that my mother said, huh? That it had to be bleeped out.
Atrocious.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special with MZ and Garrett and Sophia and Ian and Ellen. Let's bring them back on. By the way, I've got some emails to read. Let's get the right computer screen up. Let's see. Ellen, you there?
Yeah.
Ian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You have any comments about anything you've heard when you couldn't talk?
I had a comment. I just find it absolutely ridiculous, the argument that somehow conservatives will will treat senior citizens better than what's going on in Congress right now. I mean, just keep in mind that it was the last administration that tried to basically gut Social Security and privatize it. Imagine with the recession what would have happened if we privatized Social Security. I mean, it would have been a total disaster for senior citizens. So I just find it absurd that she's somehow making this argument that, you know, basically the party that created Social Security, created Medicare, created all the benefits that senior citizens enjoy are somehow going to make benefits worse right now. I find it ludicrous.
You know what I find ludicrous is that Social Security is am I right to say that government employees don't pay into it or have an alternative to paying into it? Is that right?
I think they used to, but I think that's changing.
I'm pretty sure that
government employees. You're talking about like postal workers and so forth?
I'm talking about all government employees actually have that option of privately using that money to secure their own retirement rather than paying into Social Security.
Well, I know that teachers in the public in teaching public schools, they do not pay Social Security. They pay into a teacher's retirement fund, which is very, very different. I don't know about the government workers. Perhaps someone can call us at 479-1080 and clue us in. That's the good thing about talk radio here. If we don't know, we can certainly put it out, and someone in our audience would know. If you want to call us, it's 479-1080. It is a perfect opportunity for you to talk to our young people today on the Saturday Youth Special. Number two, I've got a number of emails here to read. Not particularly long, but let's go for me. Actually, yeah, it's like three or four emails from the same person. Okay, Roger, the show, these kids are fantastic. These kids, in quotes, are fantastic. Good job, real thinking live on air. This show gives me hope. I want to meet Garrett after the show. See you there. This is Roger. Roger's going to be here to meet Garrett. He could meet you too, Sophia. I think he should be willing to meet you if you're willing to meet him. Now, Roger, there's someone named XS Chick. Saturday special. Please ask youth guests, could the valued Obama diplomacy plans be used by students or government officials to end the drug and gang wars in our own country inner city wars? Would the students explore how that would be a solution? Interesting question.
I think it's interesting that she attaches the word inner war to inner city. Inner city wars? Is that right?
Well, I don't think that's a ridiculous analogy. I mean, we talk about genocide, we talk about conflict in other parts of the world, but we don't look at what's happening in our own backyard. I mean, if you have kids being recruited into gangs at an early age and they're very much racially profiled, I don't think that's all that much different than kids being recruited into gangs or being recruited to be child soldiers in other parts of the world. I mean, certainly the levels of violence are very different, but I think that it is appropriate to look at what's happening here in our own country.
Ian and Elwin, you wanna chip in on that one at all?
I've heard gang wars referred to as the Third World War, especially in America, and not to pass judgment on that statement, I agree with Sophia, it is a very relevant point to make, and I do feel like any diplomacy that we could push in this area would be really, really put to good use. I think that there are a lot of issues that have to do with people who don't have the money to really influence the money and the time especially to really influence government. There are a lot of issues that involve them that don't necessarily get brought up as much as they should. And I think taking them to a more diplomatic level would be a really positive move. I'm not quite sure how that would be done because it's not one of the cases where there's necessarily...
I'm not sure how you negotiate with a gang member.
Right, that's what I was thinking. How would you find the leader and then have a conversation with them that didn't involve, say, handcuffs? But I do think that there do need to be some...
If I can chip in here, Elwin, I think that it's interesting that she used the word diplomacy and negotiate, because when we're dealing on a world level, negotiating between representatives of groups, that's a really great thing. What got Obama elected was grassroots organizing, mm-hmm. and I think that young people are especially enabled to fight neighborhood crime because we are the age of people who are primarily in gangs. And just like on the healthcare issue, I think that preventative medicine is really important here. Working within schools before kids get recruited into gangs can help stem the issue before it really starts.
And you know, this whole crime issue, I think, is really interesting because it's actually coming to the forefront again. Senator Jim Webb from Virginia introduced legislation a couple of months ago, I think, to basically create a commission to start talking about the issue of crime, which is really, I think, amazing, because it's been such an untouchable issue in politics. Anybody who advocates any sort of reform immediately gets slapped the label of weak on crime. But I think Jim Webb, being a military guy, really has, nobody's going to accuse him of being a weakling. And so I think that people are actually starting to talk about this issue again, which is exciting because, America has 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's inmates. And there's something is wrong here when we have such a huge, incarceration rate.
We have happily a full board of callers. We're going to start going through the calls, but I want to read a couple of short emails first. Yes, just who are our enemies? She's got you. One of the two young women brought up a salient point. UMZ assume that the enemies, in quotes, defined by the government, are our enemies. Your guest called you out. In the internet age, we no longer need to take the leader's opinion on this. We can connect directly with the peoples of different nations. And once we do this, we can find out that they aren't enemies at all. However, the leaders may be the real enemies. You can't hear?
No. I have something to say about this.
Oh.
Ellen, you talked earlier about how the internet is really breaking down national identity. You know, we're not necessarily Americans. We're not all defined by our government. But then what shall we define ourselves by to the world? We have very few alternatives. And if we
elect our government, so that's who we are.
Yeah, you know, we have a very representative government. There aren't there are some other governments in the world that aren't representative of their people.
So I wasn't necessarily speaking as much about culturally defining yourself as about communication between governments and also the influence we have on our governments.
So if our diplomats are to say that we would like to speak to you, but we don't represent all of our people.
That's always the case.
But they never say that. They would never say that. Yeah. It is really something that would make them feel weak.
Well, the internet has been brought up, and I think it's an interesting point here because it does let people do kind of micro-level communication where we don't necessarily identify as our countries. And as I said, that's not necessarily what I was trying to point out, but it does give us more leeway. We can really...
Exactly.
I want to make a point here. I think that what Ellen's getting at is there was one example where... China was perpetrating violence against Tibet, and someone, a monk, recorded it on his cell phone and sent it out when the Chinese government wouldn't put any of that footage on their television, sent it out to people all around the world, and it became a huge issue, and Tibet got a lot of support for it. So I think that the point that Ellen's making, and Ellen, correct me if I'm wrong, but is that we aren't necessarily always defined by our government and our media. If we disagree with something, or if there's something that we see that we think other people around the world should know about, we have the capability to get that information out there.
You phrased it perfectly, Sophia. Thank you.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines here on AM 1080 KSCO. Our next caller will be Tom in Monterey. Tom, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. You're on.
Great. You know, I want to applaud, what was her name, Zoe or Zoa?
The lady with the real strong brogue.
No. That was a caller. Zoya.
Zoya. I want to applaud her.
She doesn't call very often, but when she does, she's amazing. She's very thoughtful.
You know? Oh, and she lived through something.
Yes.
That I think she was trying to express to your brilliant, and I don't mean that facetiously, young people there might gain from.
Yeah.
She lived through the utopianism, the fascism, and all of the things that created the despots who created the wars. Now, if they could read some history, real accurate history, and not just listen to their professors, they might learn, like Neville Chamberlain, who tried to kiss the posterior of Hitler so graciously and forego the war, who only made it worse.
Yeah.
So as far as all this, negotiations and treating our enemies nice and defining enemies, no one could define what Hitler was. No one knew anything about him. Well, no one knew anything about Obama either. I'm not making the association there, but at any rate, despots have been among us since the beginning of history, and they will be among us until the end of it.
Uh-huh. Well, I think I'm making a correct statement when I stated that each of the three people on our program, on our panel today, there are four, but you're not an Obama person, Garrett.
Oh.
And that's what I was going to say. The three people who are Obama people, I think are it's correct to say that you're not only happy that he got elected, but you're happy with the way he's performing.
We were talking previously about how to fight crime, and the point that I was making is that if we go in and we try and stop it before it happens, then we're being really we're fighting it the most effectively. And I think that's a lot of what negotiations do. They try and resolve conflict before it gets to the point where you have incarceration camps and you have violence.
Okay.
Can I just make a point here?
I would point her towards some sermons done by Mike Ladra at First Presbyterians in Salinas. There's a series on gangs. And she's absolutely right. You stop it before it happens. But that doesn't happen with pure diplomacy. You've got to start at the root. You've got to go to the systemic problem there, and you've got to start changing it. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, you don't make a gang member like you because you're a nice person. They'll probably shoot you.
Yeah. Ian, I think you wanted to say something.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just wanted to address this point that somehow negotiating with enemies is always has a negative outcome. I mean, if you look at Iraq, we had you know, Wolfowitz compared the Sunnis to Nazis, and early on in the war, there was, you know, a lot of ethnic strife. And then General Petraeus came in and actually negotiated with the Sunnis and helped basically bring them on our side. And now they're helping us fight Al-Qaeda. So I think that, you know, you can't say that General Petraeus was sucking up to our enemies. I mean, of course, the Sunnis were our enemies. They were killing our soldiers. But we worked with them and were able to you know, come up with a solution that worked for everybody and basically bring them over on our side. So I guess I totally disagree with this notion that any time we negotiate with people, it's you know, not beneficial to us.
Okay. We have quite a number of other callers. I want to thank Tom and Monterey for waiting and for calling and for waiting and for getting on the air with us on AM 1080 KSCO.
And thank you, Michael.
You bet. And it's 11:30 now. We're going to take our next caller, Lynn in Aptos. Lynn, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I'm a postal carrier, and your question was, do we pay Social Security?
Yes, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. The answer is yes.
Uh-huh.
There was a time when postal carriers or postal employees did not, but I've been a carrier for almost 11 years, and I've always had to pay Social Security and Medicare. So
Great. They
stopped that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I can't tell you about other government agencies. I can just tell you about the postal.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for clearing that up. We appreciate your call.
You're welcome. Good show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Now,
alrighty.
Scott in Boulder Creek, our next call. By the way, we've got all our lines are open now, except for the line Scott is on. So if you want to give us a call, it's your chance. I said the lines were jammed, so you probably didn't want to call in then now, but you can at 479 1080. Go, Scott, you're on.
Fine young panel, Michael. Emzy, first of all, to you, regarding the word retarded, my dad was a teacher. He taught retarded children. He said, the one people that will never mind being called retarded are the mentally retarded. They're not offended by it at all. But as far as Ron Paul, I agree with you, MZ. I agree with him on everything, 100%, except for his foreign policy. That's why I couldn't vote for him. And the enemy is determined by the enemy. Even if you love them, they're still your enemy. If they love you back, then they're not your enemy. I think the only way to overcome that eternally is through international, interracial, and interfaith marriages. That's the only thing that can bring about world peace. You're not going to fight, you know, your wife's nation. And also about Eileen saying it not being constructive, I think it was highly constructive. Her email made my day. It was so humorous. I thought it was, you know, the fact that, you know, it ruined her day, as the other caller pointed out, you know, that was a traumatic experience in her life. She's going to have a lot more traumatic experiences in her life. And the fact that she resented facts, to me, was the most entertaining about it. And also regarding the one caller,
well,
I think...
Well, what about Kay should be arrested?
That's the most outrageous thing I've ever heard.
What she said was so hateful that she should be arrested.
Is she the one who said that? Was Eileen the one who said that?
Eileen said it was the last sentence in her letter.
Oh, the woman has spun a bearing. The woman has, you know, I'm just going to go ahead to what I really wanted to talk about, was history. You know, I know Sophia is a history major, and there's a lot of people who are concerned because we see parallels between Mussolini and Barack Obama during the 14 years before Adolf Hitler came along and made Mussolini infamous. He was quite respected throughout the world. You know, he made the trains run on time. For the Italians, that's quite a statement. But, you know, for example, even Charlie is coming over to our side, you know, the evening host, the Chrysler takeover. And what he did is he took the company and gave it to other people. He gave it to somebody else. And, you know, his slogan, Mussolini's slogan, was everything for the state, nothing outside the state. And so that means the state is going to have its business in everything we do. And as far as universal health care, in England, if you're 75, everybody knows if you go into the hospital, you're not going to come out. Basically, that's just the way it is. They cut off dialysis at 75. That means a death warrant. Barney Frank said, if you take any government money, we own you. So, you know... I strongly urge these young people to think about history and to think about universal health care. Do we want the government determining who lives and who dies? I think it's a bad idea. What we have isn't perfect. It's not. But this statism must be resisted.
Okay.
I want to mention, this is Sophia, I want to touch on that point. My dad's a plumber. He does, he's put in danger zones every day, and he doesn't have health care. And I think that the state intervening to criminalize and jail people who are speaking up against the government is very different from the state intervening to make sure that people have adequate health care.
Well, yes, obviously there's a huge difference there. But I might add, some doctors are selling their own, you know, like a retainer. You just make payments to that doctor, and then he'll take care of you. And the government's trying to actually tax that now as insurance. And also, there's what we use is reverse health care. When you have a problem, you go to the doctor, and then you start making payments. And, you know, the hospital, they can accept $20 payments, and they do not charge interest. Last we did it, they were not charging any interest at all. So.
Well, what happens when people don't have the initial money to put towards their own health care? If you can do that, if you can afford that and you want that to be your plan, I think that the government has no right to intervene and force another plan upon you. But if you're someone like my dad who doesn't have $100 a month to give towards some medical practitioners to make sure that he has health care, then the state does need to intervene.
That's true. I have family members in the medical profession, and they have spoken extensively with doctors that are going into these practices where they basically have specific patients that they deal with specifically, and they're paid by the month. And the people that are able to do that are those with the income for it, and it's a very small percentage of the population.
I think so.
Very good. You know, if they stop taking children, then there will be a lot less crime and gangs. You know, in Miami, they take one out of every other child one out of every other child. It means virtually every household. They're all poor and black, and many of them end up dead or in Saudi Arabia. Thousands disappear from Florida alone, from the Florida, the Child Protective Services in Florida. So this is the assault on our nation that we must deal with if we're going to solve these gang problems.
Thank you, Boulder Creek Scott, for your call to the KSCO Saturday special, where it is now 24 minutes before 12 noon. There's only 24 minutes remaining in this program. Boy, the time goes by fast here. So we have some young people here in the studio, Garrett and Sophia. We have some other young people on the telephone, Ian and Elwin. Like to hear from you. Give us a call at 479-1080 or send us an email, mz@ksco.com. We're going to take the call from Michael in Pacific Grove. Then we're going to do a commercial break. Michael, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Or good
whatever
morning.
It is. Or
yeah, whatever
good
it is.
Remaining, so, good remainder of the morning. Good.
I wanted to, the gentleman that was just speaking, I guess, from Boulder Creek made a great point, and I would love if there was an opportunity for there to be some sort of dialogue between the pros and the cons. Every time I speak to someone about nationalizing health care, the immediate go-to is Canada and Italy and Europe and blah, 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 and say they have it and they're great places to go. His point that anybody at 75 or over 75 does not get dialysis, the point that certain types of, in Europe, certain types of breast cancer, they do not, they don't allow them to seek certain types of treatment because it's too expensive. That's the kind of points that need to be made factually rather than anecdotally, so that all of these people who are so enamored with nationalized health care, it's going to be a debacle. And, you know, people like myself who have some pretty deep knowledge of why it's a debacle, and I don't know anything about, you know, the details of socialized medicine in other parts of the world, but some, to have somebody who is familiar with those types of exemption debating somebody who thinks that they're the greatest in national health care would be a huge benefit for people like myself who are trying to advocate for, you know, changes in the law. And I'll give you one example. There's a federal law that says that health insurance cannot be sold across state lines with an exemption to unions and government and big businesses. So all the small businesses in California are limited to seeking, to purchasing health insurance in the state of California. But a union member in California has access, or the union in California has access and the ability, because the government gave them exemptions, to band with California, Nevada, Oregon, Arizona to create a health care program that's administered and overseen by the federal government rather than the state. Individual states put so many burdens on individual, well, they have their own restrictions. So a health insurance company that wants to provide health insurance for small businesses have to abide by 50 different sets of state regulations. And there, you cannot make it efficient. If they changed a couple of laws, the regular health insurance companies that are out there would operate under one set of rules and regulations, thereby making their businesses more efficient, lowering the cost, making it more accessible for the average small business owner and their employees, even if there was a shared expense there. But people don't know this. People don't bring it up, and I don't know why.
Well, we're going to have to schedule the discussion that you have suggested.
I think it would be a huge benefit. Hell, I'd love to see it in a forum-type situation in town hall meetings where people can actually see it, hear it, ask questions. I mean, really, because it's one thing to hear it. I get so frustrated because I hear people telling me stuff, and I don't believe it, and yet I can't rebut it.
Sure you can. Well, you can just call us when we...
Yeah,
something you hear on our station. Everything's interactive here.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily your station. It's the regular media. When you read something, they're just telling you. They're telling you their version of the truth.
They talk at you, and we talk with you.
Yeah, and that's why I said if you guys had the opportunity to have some, and I say people who are trained at having a discussion. I hear so many loudmouths get on, and if you disagree with them, all they do is start talking and running and running and running and running. And who wants, I wouldn't even, as articulate as I am, I wouldn't even want to waste my time trying to argue with somebody.
I hear you.
So it's the idea of having two people who can take a position, state the facts, so that people can understand that nationalized health care will suck. I mean, it will just absolutely, and bring out the point that there are reasons why small businesses have such a hard time affording it. It's not that they don't want to provide it. Every small business owner I've talked to wants to have the best employees they can have. That's how they become competitive.
I sure do.
And they want to offer the best benefits so that they can keep those people. But there are things bigger than them, and it's federal regulations and state regulations that make it near impossible to operate. And workers' comp was a great example. That's why so many businesses left in the 90s.
Right.
It was just idiotic.
Right.
So that was my comment.
Okay. Michael, thank you very much. We're going to take a break. We got Forrest in San Jose and Margaret after that coming up on the Saturday special. So let's do that commercial break, please, Nikki, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Stay with us.
We know identity scams have grown in the past 6 months because identity thieves are working overtime, taking advantage of this economic crisis. I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock. I talk to people every day about identity theft, and I know a lot of you are scared and nervous. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be. Another identity is stolen every 3 seconds, but you can have the security and peace of mind that comes with being protected by LifeLock for just pennies a day. LifeLock is number one in identity theft protection because we work to stop identity theft before it happens, or we fix it at our expense up to $1 million. Don't spend another minute worrying. Call LifeLock now.
Get instant protection by calling 1-800-615-4464. Call right now and you'll also get 30 days absolutely free. That's 1-800-615-4464. Get the peace of mind LifeLock provides today. Use promo code 3MONTH. Call 1-800-615-4464 or go to LifeLock.com.
Hi, it's MZ. Say, have you been noticing all the new ads we've been running on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO? It's true, and I don't understand it, but while most of the other radio stations are laying off staff and losing advertisers due to a dramatic drop in radio ad budgets, as usual, KSCO is the exception to the rule. Actually, though, it's no mystery when you think about it. After all, everybody who has an investment in and cares about our community listens to KSCO AM 1080. And the word is out that any serious business can reach an enormously wide base of customers using KSCO, arguably the one long-established, powerful radio station that is locally owned and operated and has clearly demonstrated year after year that it cares for its community more than any other station in our market. We are looking for 3 motivated, creative people to expand our advertising sales operation and give more businesses on the Central Coast the opportunity to grow despite the lagging economy. We pay very generous commissions, and there is no more fun place to work, I guarantee it. If you want to be considered, send an email with your resume to me, mz@kseo.com. That's mz@kseo.com.
The Seascape Farmers Market opens for their second season this Sunday in the plaza at Seascape Village. Seascape is a certified market offering local produce, organic foods, fresh flowers, and plants. The Seascape Farmers Market will also feature the talents of local artisans and jewelers. Join in the joy of the Seascape Farmers Market this Sunday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. in the plaza at Seascape Village near Seascape Resort in Aptos.
You'll see us hiking in the hills of Boulder Creek,
walking the sands of Seabright,
or the orchards of Watsonville.
We're members.
We're employees.
We're the people of Bay Federal Credit Union.
We live in a special place.
Forests meet beaches.
People of all types blend together.
We celebrate our diversity.
To live in harmony.
That's why I bank.
I bank at Bay Federal.
It's a credit union.
A not-for-profit.
A new way of banking.
It's local people helping local people.
Bay Federal has been making a real difference in our community for over 50 years.
The money saved here stays here.
The loans it creates stay here too.
So the artist in Davenport can open a gallery.
A family in SoCal can buy a home.
Or the farmer can help feed the world.
Join us to make a real difference.
In your life.
In my life.
And the lives of everyone here.
Bay Federal Credit Union.
Making a real difference.
Learn more at bayfed.com.
are coming back now to the remaining 15 minutes of hour number two of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station and mine, AM 1080 KSCO, with our fine young people, Sophia, Garrett, Elowin, and Ian. And if you want to give a call here, it's 479-1080. And you got about 15 minutes. Ooh, gee, we got a full board, it looks like, here. So, as promised, our next caller is Forrest in San Jose. Forrest, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air with the gang.
Hey, thanks, MZ. So I just wanted to kind of bring up the fallacy of the argument that was presented earlier, and I think it was from Sophia, about how her dad doesn't have, and this is no disrespect to her dad at all, but how he earns, he doesn't have $100 a month to pay for his own health care. So the argument is that the government is then responsible to come in and step in and take care of that for him. I just think that's really indicative of the kind of entitlement mentality that people have nowadays, especially people kind of, you know, on the left. And it's not the government's responsibility to step in and take care of anybody's health care. Well, except with a few exceptions, for sure. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's your dad's responsibility to earn $100 more a month and take care of himself.
So, Forrest, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So you pay taxes. What do you feel are the benefits from government that you are entitled to because you pay taxes?
You know what? I personally don't take advantage of anything really from the government in terms of any kind of social programs or anything. I never have.
So then why do you pay taxes?
And I never will.
So then why do you pay taxes?
I pay taxes because I'm forced to.
He doesn't want to go to jail.
And if I didn't have to, I wouldn't.
What about roads and infrastructure and basic stuff like that, electricity?
Well, those are mostly covered by state taxes, local taxes, excise taxes.
Taxes.
So you think that it's reasonable for you to be paying taxes because you drive on the roads and you have a telephone?
Drink water.
Sure, if we're talking
and you drink
about
water?
Like sales tax and gasoline taxes, which mostly covers those kinds of things, then, yeah, that's no problem because I do take advantage of those services. But in terms of health care, when I was self-employed for years and I didn't make very much, and I probably didn't make as much as most plumbers do, yet I was able to scrape together $100 a month to pay for my own health insurance. So I think ultimately it's the individual's responsibility to take care of their basic needs. Health care is one of those basic needs, and certainly nobody is entitled to health care because it is a business like any other, and you do have to pay for it. And I'm sorry if that offends some people, but what we need is more competition among insurance companies. We need lower rates, which would be brought about by encouraging more competition among doctors, doing things like advertising rates, pay-as-you-go programs, and, retainer-type systems like somebody else brought up. But socialized medicine doesn't work. I definitely encourage you to look at the systems that they have in the UK and Canada and how horrible those are. Everybody that I've spoken to from those countries absolutely deplores the system. They hate it. It doesn't work, and it's bad for people.
Then, hey, Forrest, why don't we privatize libraries? I mean, if people really want to read books, they can pay for it.
Sure. Well, we already have Amazon.com. You know, you can go.
So you're thinking we should get rid of all public libraries? Get rid of all public schools?
No.
I mean, people aren't entitled to those things. We might as well, if they want it, they can pay for it.
You're setting up a straw man, my friend. You're setting up a straw man because you know that the only way you're going to win this argument is if you make me look farcical. And no, we should have public schools, and we should have public libraries, and those are things that that I think as somebody who has kids and pays taxes in their community, yeah, they're entitled to use those programs. But
we should have our kids, we should have healthy kids too.
So it seems like the line that people
deserve
are drawing at different places here is what we are entitled to from our government. I think we all agree on education. I hope we all agree on education. We all agree on roads. But there's debate over health care. I would say that health care is a basic human right in more developed countries. But if that's not the case, then what we heard earlier about 75-year-olds no longer having access to health care, from your perspective, Forrest, it sounds like that would be a kind of a tough luck situation.
No, I mean, I think that we already have a system that takes care of people who are elderly and who can't afford adequate health care. And that system is, in a lot of ways, is very successful. And so I think that if there are ways that we can fine-tune and improve that rather than bringing about this blanket, you know, public health system for everybody, that's really the best route to go.
So then what happens when my dad's an elderly person?
There already is Medicaid and Medicare to take care of him.
What about government organizations that help people that can't pay for their health insurance now?
Like which ones?
Well, I was thinking of, I can't quote them all off the top of my head, but I know that, for instance, my mother works in a hospital. I think I mentioned that earlier. And they don't deny treatment to anyone at all.
So we already do kind of have socialized medicine in a sense, in that if you can't pay for something, you go to the emergency room, you're taken care of, and then the people who can pay cover you.
But that's costing the state way more money because it's not preventative.
Right.
Well, so in the long run, your tax money is having less effect because people only go into the hospital when they're absolutely desperate. And I personally know people who, for example, someone who has asthma and isn't able to get treated because the asthma medication is now over-the-counter and you have to go to the doctor and pay lots of money to go and get the prescription to go get asthma to get treated for your disease. So the only way that he can afford to save himself is if he is literally having an asthma attack and can get himself to the emergency room.
I would really blame that on the gangs actually making crystal meth. I think that has a lot to do with that particular situation.
The person I know who's asthmatic is not involved in the game, and as far as I know, has never taken crystal meth.
Certain asthma medications are used in the manufacturing of...
Right, that's true. That's very true. But at the same time, the real barrier is not being able to go and have enough health coverage to go and get the prescription in the first place.
What happened to Forrest?
That particular instance is a result of the war on drugs. Another thing, like the war on poverty and the war on... What were the other wars on things? Anyways, the attachment of war to this word.
But at the same time, the real barrier is not being able to go into a doctor's office and get the prescription because you don't have health insurance.
Okay, gang. We only have 8 minutes left, and we have three more people who want to talk to us here. So our next caller is going to be Margaret in Santa Cruz. What does it say? Watch out for this one. She was the rude one last Saturday. No. Is that true, Margaret?
Hi, Margaret.
Hi. No, I don't believe I was rude at
all.
All
right, good.
How y'all doing? I was just wondering about this this whole issue that one of the guests today is talking about diplomacy and Obama. And I was wondering, how do you feel about Obama's diplomacy and negotiation with the Somali pirates? Now, before you answer that question, I do want to say one thing. How would all of us here in Santa Cruz feel if Monterey, Santa Barbara, San Francisco were dumping, bringing their big ships, big ship liners, into our Monterey Bay and dumping all their nuclear waste onto our bay, and it would kill our fish, our marine life, which was our livelihood here, and I'm just saying as an analogy here, it was our marine life they're killing, and then our children were now being born with birth defects, our people are dying of cancers, and we are starving. How do you think we would feel here in Santa Cruz? Well, that is how these Somali pirates were emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, you name it, involved with these tankers that are coming into their waterways, dumping nuclear waste. I believe that Obama could have negotiated with these pirates and signed some kind of waterway treaty with all these terrible countries that are doing this to the Somali people and their shores. Oh, okay, that's all I need to say. And then one quick question, yes or no? Have either of you watched the movie Sicko?
No, I haven't watched the movie Sicko. Are you also aware that many pirates in Africa are, in fact, not just pirating ships, but actually going out with large dredge nets and illegally raping these coastlines?
Yes, I do know.
It's not as though they are going, oh, our poor environment. There's stuff.
No. Yeah, I know this. So how do you feel Obama did on that negotiation diplomacy issue there? His first
chance. How did he do? What rating would you give him?
Didn't he shoot them in the head? Well, not him personally. I know. No, but the hostage situation.
Yeah, how did he rate with you guys and your diplomacy, your change, your hope? What do you think about Obama now in that? His first chance, how did he do?
So we don't get into a circular debate. Would you like to tell us how you think he did?
No. I'm asking you the question. Not great.
It gives her the power this way, so just...
I mean, I personally don't feel that was the best way to handle the situation. I'm not as familiar with the situation as I could be. I should probably preface all my statements with that. But I don't think it was his first opportunity. I think he's been doing really well, and I think he's human. I think the reason we haven't heard about all the other things is that he hasn't been messing them up. And I don't think the hostage issue.
Stand by, Margaret. Hold on just a second, Ellen. I'm going to too many people here on the line here, so I'm going to put a couple of you on hold here. Just a second. There is Doug in Santa Cruz who wants to confront Margaret. Oh God, I think I've got both of them. Ah, jeez. Nikki, you got to teach me how to run the radio station here because
I don't know
what I'm
apparently
doing.
Okay, folks, they're gone. So gone. Let them
right,
call
Scott
back in.
Maybe
and
you guys call back. We only have a couple minutes here. Scott in Live Oak. Now I got rid of everybody.
I'm still here.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
All right, everybody, call on back.
Oh, good.
So, this is Scott Live Oak.
Yeah.
I'm from a unique perspective of living in California. My whole life, I'm a native prune picker.
Uh-huh.
And back when I was probably about 14 years old, 13, Ronald Reagan came in.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad got a divorce, and we went from middle
just
income.
Just because Reagan came in?
Not because of that. Oh. I'm just saying, giving you a timeline here. And I'm telling you, we went from middle income to living in a ghetto overnight. And going to the county hospital for medical care was literally, if you got out of there in 6 hours, you were doing great. Norms were 8 to 10 hour waits to get in and be seen. And that's socialized medicine. And I'm telling you, as far as, like one of your hosts there is, her dad's a plumber. And yeah. Doesn't have health insurance. There's health insurance is something that I realized, number one, as a kid, I didn't want poverty, and welfare wasn't for me. And I worked hard, and I worked for companies that had health insurance. They supplied it. And all three of my, well, not all three, but two of my kids were born under health insurance. One of them wasn't. And my church helped me out with that birth. What I'm trying to get across here is that we're entitled to the pursuit of happiness, but there's no guarantees in this life. And the federal government, I mean, they can't even fix Social Security. They're screwing it up worse and worse all the time. The people who
this is terrible. We have to apologize. I have to apologize to everybody because the time is up. It's the end. I got to apologize to Elwin and Ian and Dan and Santa Cruz and Margaret and Jeannie and Aptos. Sorry about that. It's the end of the program. Hey, thanks you guys, Garrett, sure. Sophia, Ian, and Elwin. We got to do it again sometime here. So let's say goodbye.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 12 noon. Here is Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. Tomorrow is Notre Dame's commencement. It's controversial because Notre Dame has managed to hook a big-name speaker, President Barack Obama. And there are protests aplenty, those protesters wanting to know why a Christian school would embrace a pro-choice speaker. Let's check in with Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper.
As graduate students take part in a ceremony not far away,
So you need to answer me. It's not the time for prayer. Please.
At least 18 protesters are arrested. They say President Obama shouldn't be allowed to speak at the Catholic University because of his support of abortion rights and embryonic stem cell research. Meantime, four students show up across the street from the main entrance.
We just want to come out and show support for what the university chose to do and just show also support for choice.
She says they're also excited about Sunday's address. At Notre Dame University, Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
He speaks fluent Mandarin Chinese. He has experience as an ambassador to Singapore, and he's the father of a girl adopted from China. Utah Governor John Huntsman, is also a Republican, and he's President Barack Obama's pick to be the next ambassador to China.
I can think of no one better suited to take on this assignment than the governor of the great state of Utah, John Huntsman.
Huntsman's a moderate Republican who co-chaired John McCain's quest for the presidency. He has to be confirmed by the Senate. Post time, 6:15 for the Preakness. Live from Maryland, Fox News Radio's Kirsten McNary.
Karen, Philly Rachel Alexander still the favorite with bettors and jockey Calvin Burrell making history, switching off Kentucky Derby winner Mind That Bird. Racegoers like Michael are pushing big drama up the ranks.
I thought he was going to run in the Derby, but it seems like the trainer sort of held him back. I think he got injured in January. So watch the swell. He track record. He's ready.
Right now the ground is dry and the track is firm, but the forecast is rain. Karen?
The biggest names in talk radio. The biggest names on cable news. Phil O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and Dave Ramsey can be downloaded in a commercial-free audio podcast for one or all of these most influential opinion makers in America. To find out how you can subscribe to the Fox News Quadcast, go to foxnewstalk.com. foxnewstalk.com. O'Reilly, Hannity, Beck, and Ramsey. When you want it from foxnewstalk.com.
New players in Washington and new policies for America's future. As it all happens, you need trusted reporting, unparalleled experience, real insight. Brett Baer and Team Washington bring it to you first, fair and balanced. On top of the stories, breaking down the issues, taking you inside the Beltway. Brett Baer, breathing life into politics. Special report, 6 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel, the only fair and balanced news network in America. Check your local listings.
350 miles above us, the astronauts are spacewalking.
John Grunsfeld and Drew Feustel will make their second outing as a team this mission, and NASA agreed to delay the start of the spacewalk by an hour to let them get a bit more sleep. The spacewalks are already scheduled to be long, but they've been running over due to some difficulties in getting the repairs done. Today's outing is expected to be the most difficult of the five planned for this mission. The astronauts will try to fix some broken scientific instruments instead of just swapping out old and spent parts. In Miami, Eben Brown, Fox News Radio.
The infamous Rikers Island jail in New York has a new inmate, the H1N1 flu virus. An inmate there came down with a fever and cough this week. He was sent to the hospital. The inmate's condition, not serious. It looks like he came in contact with about 70 other inmates. The Department of Correction in New York says none of them are showing the flu symptoms. The fight against the Taliban. Pressing on in Pakistan.
The Pakistan Army, supported by helicopter gunships and fighter jets, continued to press Taliban militants in the northwest of the country today. The military says its troops have now encircled the town of Mingora, which is being held by Islamic fighters. Tens of thousands of civilians are trying to flee the conflict zone. Aid agencies fear a humanitarian crisis. Meanwhile, security officials say a suspected U.S. missile strike in the tribal region of North Waziristan near the Afghan border killed 10 militants, two of them foreigners. It's not clear yet whether any high-value targets were killed. David Piper, Fox News Radio.
It's a kind of foster home for guerrillas. Jane and Stuart Doerr used to own a mansion outside of Chicago, but both of them really dig gorillas, so they sold their big house and built a big house for gorillas in Georgia. Their gorilla haven can house up to 20 gorillas waiting for spots in zoos. Among those hanging out there is Joe. He's one of the oldest gorillas in North America. He likes lemon yogurt and the Dave Matthews Band. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080, and I am Nikki James. Got some good news on the Central Coast forecast situation for the weekend. We got sunny skies. It's going to be warm, with a high of 81 today. North-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tonight, mostly clear with a low of 55 and light winds. Sunday, mostly sunny and warm with a high of 82. North-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Monterey Bay boaters forecast. We got east winds. 5 to 10 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 feet or less, northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds with patchy fog. Tonight, northwest winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming east after midnight, and wind waves 2 feet or less, northwest swell 3 to 5 feet at 8 seconds. On Sunday, we're going to have east winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming west in the afternoon, and wind waves 2 feet or less with a northwest swell of 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. Got some current temperatures here for you. It's 82 in Salinas already. It's 80 in Watsonville. And we got 68 in Monterey. And here in Santa Cruz outside KSCO Studios, we are at 65 degrees. Official time, 12:06 and 47 seconds on this Saturday, May 16th, 2009. Up next, we got Perspective. Stay tuned to KSCO Santa Cruz. I'll see you next weekend. I'm Nikki James.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name's Donald Davidson. I'll be your co-host today. Joining us from afar is Dr. David Biles, who is the host of the show today, and our very special guest host, Gary Arnold. Gary, thanks for joining us today. Dr. Biles, can you hear us? Soon.
Hello, Doctor.
Gary.